We are right now finishing the third day of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. I spoke to my class today and explained to them what does that mean, the third day of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. They said today is Monday, and according to an opinion of Chazal, you have the opportunity to correct all the Mondays of the entire year by taking stock of your mitzvahs and the preventative measures in not doing averus. So of course when you're talking to children, you're talking about things that are pertaining to children. Kibbutz aim. You can correct all of the honor that was displaced or misplaced a whole year by honoring father and mother. On Monday, I talked to them about washing properly, birchas hamazon, benching properly, making brachas and not to mumble them, say it loud enough so people can answer. I mean, you can correct all the Mondays of the entire year. All the Mondays. And then tonight you're going to say Krishna. You're going to do it. That means it begins Tuesday. All the Tuesdays of the entire year, whatever you do today. Why? Why is it so powerful? Chazal say, based on the pasuk, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Kira'uhu Biyoso Karov. Seek Hashem. He can be found. Call out to him while he is close. He's close. What does that mean, he is close? Are you rubbing shoulders with him? You see him anywhere? You can't see him, but what does it mean he's close? He's close to all of us. He's not sitting on his throne of judgment, throne of mercy. And he is, so to say, with his hands begging, come close to me, talk to me, say things that will impress me that you are interested in doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Kira'uhu v'yotzei karov. Call out to him while he is close by. This is the reference to the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And I explained to the class, these are very special days. Don't squander them. Don't spend it foolishly. With any action that you do, you can make a very big difference. We often go to Simchas and we greet each other and we wish each other l'chaim, take a little bit schnapps, a little bit wine, and we greet and we wish each other, we wish you mazel and bracha, we wish you hatzlacha in your new business, we wish you nachas from your children. I often like to take that opportunity to bring to light the tefillah we say on the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech chavetz b'chaim. We're saying the word l'chaim so many times. Saying l'chaim, 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 l'chaim. It's not, said it cheaply. Zachreinu l'chaim, remember us for life. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech chavetz b'chaim. Hashem wants life. So, right? Melech. Because veinu b'sefer ha'chaim. And write us in the book of life. L'man cholikim chaim. So Mefarshim raised a question. It appears on the surface that this tefillah is inappropriate. We don't ask for personal things in the first three brachas, Shemona Esrei. The first three brachas are relegated to honoring Hashem, showing our submissiveness to Hashem. We don't find asking for personal things in the first three brachas. Usually we ask Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa'i, we ask for Geula, we ask for redemption, always after the three brachas. Everything is after. Where do we ask for a personal thing, Zachayinu L'chaim, right at the very, very beginning, no less at the first bracha? And Mefarshim explain, it's because of the last request. L'mancha L'kim Chaim. The kind of Chaim I want to live is L'mancha L'kim, for the sake of Hashem. L'mancha L'kim. If that's the kind of life you're asking for, then you can ask it even in the first bracha of Shimon Nasri. Unfortunately, people use the word life very, very haphazardly. You know, it all depends on who's asking for life and who you're talking to. You talk to a stranger on the street, you ask him, what's life? Winning the lottery ticket. $25 million, that's life. That's life. You talk to a Maple Leaf fan whose his whole life is surrounded around the game. Stanley Cup, that's life. I belong to that team, that's life. You talk to a drunkard, you know what's life? A good drink. I gotta pick the right liquor. That's life. That's life. We Torah people don't think that way. To our understanding, life is not a lottery ticket. Life is not winning a game. Life is not having a good drink. Life is l'mancha l'kim, a life that's relegated and dedicated for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Around 12:30 yesterday, I received a call from my son, Avram David. He went to visit his in-laws in Los Angeles. And he told me he was shooken up on Rosh Hashanah. Usually you get shooken up when you hear the sounds of the shofar. You think a little bit seriously. He said the first day of Rosh Hashanah there was no blowing of the shofar. He was shaken up. So why were you shaken up? Because I felt for the first time in my life an earthquake that shook up the ground. I felt the turbulence of being on a plane and something's not right. On the Richter scale was 4.9 earthquake. It should not take an earthquake to wake us up, to shake us up, to make us aware. As Torah Jews, even though, and sadly to say, according to the statistics, in this past year, I guess from the time COVID-19 was somewhere in March or in that area, 200,000 U.S. citizens died. Forget about those who were infected. Millions were infected. 200,000 human beings died in the period of 6 months. If that will not shake us up, we have a lot of soul searching to do. I heard a story from a famous speaker, I hope I pronounced his name.
Ashir.
I think it's Ashir. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Ashir. Whatever. Just recently heard a quote. He's talking about how Hashem is waiting for your tefillah, for your tshuva, for anything. Are you aware when you right before you blow the shofar, you say seven times Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor. We are invoking Korach, the sons of Korach. What's going on here? Korach made a rebellion. He put a split into the foundation of Klal Yisrael. We are suffering because of that rebellion. Ad Hayom. My Rebbe, Chaim Dov Keller, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and I remember hearing it in Shir. He's the father of reformism. He was the first reformed Jew. And we say, Lam Natzeach, Livnei Koyach, what is this all about? Livnei Koyach, they did tshuva. There was a regish of tshuva. Now, I'm not sure if I understand what Chazal say, that they have a certain level, a shelf, or a spot in Gehenna where they were spared, and therefore their punishment was relocated. I can't say I understand that. But we are saying the Shtikel Tehillim for our sake, to invoke Hashem's mercy seven times, mentioning the B'nai Koyach. It must be that the minimal amount of tshuva is accepted by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let's not dismiss that. He records a story from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman that happened, I guess, recently, or that was told over recently. Here there was this Balas Tshuva, became a very, very, very religious woman. She was a tzaddikess, and she was enrolling her children in Beis Yaakov. And she was waiting in the office to be seen. And all of a sudden, her mother and her daughter, which certainly didn't look religious at all, to see the way they looked and the way they dressed and their whole mannerism. She says, why did you choose Beis Yaakov? She said, because the other schools I went to are too expensive. So she said, you might be making a mistake. I don't think your daughter will be happy here. They're very strict. They have rules. They have dress codes. They even impose certain behaviors at home that you can't do because you're part of the Beis Yaakov society. You can't. She says, okay, thank you for the information. And she walked out of the office and did not enroll her daughter into Beis Yaakov. She thought about what she did and she was terribly remorseful. She said, Oy vey! If I would have kept quiet and let her get enrolled, look what could have happened to that daughter. I have been directly involved in convincing her not to have the education that she should really be entitled to. Every time she said vidoy, we say in the vidoy, Bad Yashamnu, Bagadnus, there's a part that says, I've given bad advice. And that's what we clap when we say Yashamnu. I'm just looking for the right words. I don't have it in front of me.
Yatsnura.
Okay, Yatsnura. she has been clapping your Atznura ever since. I gave her bad Eitzah and she poured her heart out and she cried 15 years. She cried when she got to your Atznura. 15 years later, she notices the woman who she had discouraged sending her daughter to Beis Yaakov. And she says, "Oh, I recognize you. Yes, you're the one that told me not to send my daughter. Do you want to see? She's right over there. She married a rabbi. She's wearing a shetel. And I don't know what got into her. We have a completely different lifestyle. And ever since we left you, something got into her, a bug got into her head. That she wants to be more religious, she wants to be more committed, she wants to be more part of this Orthodox society. I couldn't shake it out of her. It was like something came over her." So the woman said, "I know what happened. Because I davened for 15 years. I didn't realize what I've done. And I see this is what I've done. And the tefillah wasn't for nothing." I'd like to conclude because I have approximately 1 minute left. So when you daven for others, Hashem listens. He listens well. The same way you daven for others, you can also defend others. And by defending others, you're defending yourself. I have here, which I have a handout I'll give to everybody, the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. It says, how to defend yourself on Yom Kippur. And basically speaking, I'll just read the first two paragraphs. The rest you'll please read yourselves. It says, your life is on the line. For the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you're davening fervently for a favorable judgment. Through tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, you're defending yourself in the heavenly court. But did you know there's something else you can do? Defend somebody else. The next time you hear a piece of Lashon Hara, don't join in or listen with an amused ear. Find an excuse for the person being defamed. Tell the speaker that maybe they misunderstood the action, or that the person in question had the purest motivation, or he just didn't realize what he was doing. Come up with anything, but come up with something. Something that will make you and the speaker think the person's talking about is innocent. Remember, mida keneged mida. Hamadaber tov al chaveroi, person speaks well about his friend. Malachei hasheres medaber malav tov lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Heavenly angels speak about that person in his good favor. May we all have a democracy in the Torah.